Welcome back. Nice to be talking about things that will be happening in springtime, like the Stop the Stigma 5K for Interfaith Social Services of Quincy. Executive Director Rick Doan has stopped on by to tell us about that and other interfaith stuff.
That's the job.
How are you, Rick?
I'm good. I'm good. Good to be back. Good to have some warm weather coming around the corner.
Yes, we're looking forward to that for sure. Speaking of warm, how's your new heating system going?
It is good. You know, it was... So, for those who don't know, our heating system in December went down, and we sort of limped along with space heaters and other things, and then we were going to have a really cold day. It was that, like, day when it dipped below zero or whatever, and we said we weren't going to open the food pantry.
Right.
And we just put a message out on social media letting clients know, and it got picked up by radio stations and TV.
Oh, yeah.
And it was amazing. It was amazing.
Anybody else's furnace dies and nobody knows about it, but yours dies.
Well, but it was really thoughtful donations, too.
Really?
People reaching out. There was this one from this lady. She said, I work at a local supermarket. I don't have a lot of money, but I really wanted to help you guys. And she sent along a donation.
Wow.
There was another. My sister works for Meals on Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And she went in and was delivering some meals. And this couple was there, said, did you hear about this food pantry that lost their heat? Do you think they could use a donation? And my sister said, I think so.
I just might happen to know somebody there.
Yeah, it was really neat.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of contractors reached out too, right, to help you.
Contractors, electricians.
Yeah.
It was just, it's amazing.
It's nice.
I love, it's one of the best parts, seeing charitable acts, seeing how people want to help out,
right.
And they don't just say it, they act and they do it.
I know you were concerned about the cost, you know, you'd have to dip into your resources.
It was quite a bit, but it brought in over $10,000 in donations.
Oh, that's great.
So we're really, really excited about it.
So you're good to go?
We are. We got heat in the building. We've had heat.
You better check the air conditioning, too, while you're at it.
We did.
Okay.
We did. Yeah.
The bigger story of that was, of course, it was a time when the food pantry was needed the most, right?
During
number one, the pandemic. Number two, the below normal temperatures.
Yeah, and we're glad. I mean, because it'll be below zero, and we still have clients who walk up to the food pantry.
Yeah.
It'll be a pouring rain day. And it doesn't mean that people who walk it's going to keep them away. They still come out and we're there. And it would be the worst if somebody walks all the way to the food pantry on a day like that.
And you're closed.
And we're closed.
Yeah. And you couldn't have volunteers in the building either.
No, it wasn't safe. Yeah. It was just too cold to have the volunteers in the building because of the temperatures outside.
Right.
And that they couldn't come in and warm up after being outside at the client's cars.
Yeah. So how are you doing? Things in the pandemic seem to be getting better. Are you seeing that reflected in the need at Interfaith?
The need is still great.
Okay.
The food pantry numbers are still very high. But our counseling center are record-setting numbers.
Every month,
we're serving more and more and more clients, which is great. It means people are reaching out for help. But the term that's being used by the CDC, by the Department of Public Health, is a crisis, a mental health crisis, that the pandemic has sort of exacerbated. It's augmented problems people already have. It's caused issues that they thought that they could kind of manage to be bigger. And they're reaching out for help, and we're glad we're able to be there and help them.
Is it younger people? I've heard a lot of stories about kids.
Across the board.
Is it?
Okay. Across the board. We have lots of young people who are reaching out, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times it's parents who reach out on behalf of.
Of course. Yeah.
But also seniors.
Oh.
You have people who maybe they've lost all of their loved ones. Mm. And their only support network was their friend group. And that friend group for the past couple of years haven't felt safe getting together for a meal, haven't felt safe going out. And so there are more seniors who have felt very isolated and add the anxiety of the pandemic to that as well.
Yep.
So we see that group reaching out as well.
Interesting. I just reported on your two newest counselors. At New Directions.
Diane and Donna, they're wonderful.
Yeah, so they're already working. They're
on
staff.
Definitely.
Okay.
And Donna is somebody who works with a lot of children. Okay. So we're glad that she was able to come in and start working with some of the children that we serve.
Yeah. Are you in person, Rick, for counseling?
We are.
Okay.
There are some therapists that still don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And there's still a number of clients that still don't feel comfortable.
Sure.
But we are offering in-person sessions.
Okay. Or not, right?
So or through telemedicine, Zoom, phone calls. Yep. That's always going to be part of it.
I was just going to ask if that's going to continue.
Yep. It always will. Okay. And thank goodness, because one of the big changes right at the beginning, Blue Cross Blue Shield, they were leading the way with telemedicine.
Mm-hmm.
The pandemic hit and they said, we are going to reimburse for telemedicine sessions, where it didn't used to be something that was commonly covered.
Okay.
I don't think it'll ever go away. It's part of healthcare.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Do you need more counselors?
Well, we're always looking for, if people are interested, please reach out. We'd love to talk with them if they're interested in working with us and to see if they're the right fit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. The whole reason for Stop the Stigma is to fund the New Directions Counseling Center, right?
That's right. You know, for a long time, it was just a walkathon.
Yeah.
It was we did a walkathon every spring. We'd been doing it since the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 5 years ago that we said, we saw the growing problem of mental illness and addiction. We saw our volunteers who were losing children and loved ones and were struggling. And we said, and we saw community efforts to raise awareness, and we said, we need to do something. And the Stop the Stigma 5K, we want it to raise funding. But really, it's an opportunity to be here with you today to talk about mental illness and addiction.
Right.
And to tell people there's nothing wrong with saying this is part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a character flaw. It's an illness like any other. And so we're grateful we have that platform every year to show by walking and running in the 5K and showing our loved ones and community members, we support them, we stand with them, and they shouldn't feel ashamed or embarrassed about talking about a mental illness.
Has it worked, do you think?
We hope it has.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep ringing that bell. We're going to keep running and walking and talking about it. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take a long time, and we're in it for the long haul.
We have a few photos from past walks we wanted to,
good.
To show folks.
Great.
Just to give them a sense of what it might look like that day. But this year it's April 30th, is that right?
April 30th, Saturday.
Okay.
We always do it around, it's pretty much the same route around Squantum. Beautiful, views of the skyline. And it starts and ends at the Kennedy Center, the Senior Center.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, we had a lot of indoor activities, we had face painting and other things like that. We want to keep it focused on the mission.
Okay.
So we're still going to have some food and we're going to have some raffles and things like that, but really scaling it back a little bit so that we can keep it focused on the mission and why we're doing it and not about a big party.
Okay.
We love parties. We all love parties.
Sure.
And they're fun.
Yeah.
But it's keeping it focused on the mission.
Okay. About how many folks usually attend?
We don't know.
Okay.
But this is the first back in person.
I was just going to ask if you had it last year.
So we've been doing it every year.
Yeah.
And it's all been virtual.
Okay.
So we said during this week, register. We're going to send you a T-shirt. And everybody will do a 5K in their neighborhood and then submit their times.
Okay. All right.
And it has, the last 2 years have been our most successful 5Ks ever.
Yeah. Okay.
So we've kept that component there.
Oh.
If people feel comfortable coming together, gathering for a 5K with hundreds of other people on April 3rd, we're going to be there.
Come on out. Okay.
Not everybody is at that
April
point.
April 30th, right?
April 30th.
Okay.
April 30th. Thank you. Not everybody's there.
Right.
And there's some people out of state that want to participate.
Sure.
That aren't necessarily coming to Squantum.
Obviously, yeah.
And so they can participate as well.
Okay.
So right now we have a couple hundred people already registered for it, and we expect 400 or 500 people, we're hoping.
Okay.
Yeah.
About how much does the event raise?
It raises about $70,000.
That's amazing.
Which is a huge fundraiser. It supports our therapists.
Yep.
Because the majority of our clients that we see don't have insurance.
Sure.
Or they have inadequate insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They might have a deductible that's so high they can't afford to pay it. And so we have a sliding fee scale based on income. But one of the things we launched last year that has become part of our program is when people come to us, their first four sessions, there's no cost. Or if they have insurance, there's no copay.
Okay.
We didn't want anybody to have a financial barrier to treatment. So when somebody calls us up, we say, thank you for calling. Let's get you in touch with a therapist. We get them into treatment. And that's what we want people. That's the experience we want people to have.
Yeah.
And we can talk later about ongoing and sliding fee scale and all those kinds of things.
So kind of a triage, really, to treat them immediately.
And some people don't pursue it. Some people only do four sessions.
Yep.
And that's fine.
And that's enough for them.
Yeah. If that's what it is, if that's what they need, we're glad we were there when they reached out.
How many counselors do you have on staff?
We have 11.
Okay.
11 therapists. Some are only seeing a couple clients.
Yeah.
Some are seeing a lot of clients. And the pandemic has allowed us. We had some therapists that had moved out of the area and doing telemedicine. Mm-hmm. We were able to say, come on back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. And any idea about how many folks you treat?
We provide each year about, this last year was 3,200 counseling sessions. That's what we provided. And so it's been growing, and I'll give a comparison. Last January, we provided about 220 counseling sessions.
Okay.
This January, we provided over 300 counseling sessions.
Wow, okay.
So that, I mean, that just shows that the increase that we've seen.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
And this is really how Interfaith was founded in 1947, right?
It was. Yeah. I mean, the idea was supporting families and children.
Right.
And one of the first programs that grew out of that was the counseling center. And all of our other programs grew out of that. The food pantry, the homelessness prevention program. It was all things that we saw in the counseling center that people were experiencing, and we wanted to help them out.
Right. The winter is not over by a long stretch.
No.
Are you seeing the increased costs of food and energy impacting your clients?
Well, we're seeing that.
Yeah.
What we're seeing is the food supply issues have definitely affected us.
Is that right?
Also, we're going to miss Roach Brothers a lot.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
Roach Brothers is one of our big, half of our food comes from Food Rescue. And Roach Brothers was one of our biggest food rescue partners. Mm. So we're really going to miss them in the community.
Yep.
And over the years, we've lost, you know, places like it used to be Hannaford and then Big Y. They were another big food rescue site. So we hope that the supermarket coming in will be on board.
Yep.
But we're looking for other food rescue partners to help make sure food gets on the plates of hungry people instead of entering the waste stream.
Well, I know even the Greater Boston Food Bank was in a bit of a crisis for time. How is their situation now?
I mean, I don't know day to day. It's affected. The staffing has been difficult for them. But it's what's been challenging, staples like cereal and other items that we could always depend on, that we could source from the Greater Boston Food Bank. We have gone through periods this year where we've had to go out and kind of clear the shelves at Stop and Shop. And, you know, it's kind of fun. You send a volunteer out, you're all get a couple hundred boxes. And what's neat is when they're pulling these grocery carts full and people are kind of looking at them and
they've
got all
these
cereal.
They're having a really big party,
But what's neat is when people say, you know, what are you doing that for?
Yeah.
Oh, it's for the food pantry. Oh, let me help cover some of the cost of that.
Yeah.
It's really, it's the best. Quincy's great.
It's nice to hear. Certainly.
Yeah.
Do you have an energy assistance program at Interfaith too?
We do.
You do?
It's a stopgap.
Okay.
The QCAP, they're fantastic. They do great work.
Yep.
They have the federal funding for LIHEAP for for fuel assistance. And so we tell everybody, go there first.
Yep.
And then we can help out in emergencies. For instance, we had an undocumented family who, because of their immigration status, didn't qualify for that assistance. And we were able to step in and help them out.
Okay.
And a couple other people in situations like that.
Okay. You have a library now at Interfaith.
It's not a lot. It's a free book program.
Oh, free books.
And they go to people's houses and they stay there.
Oh, okay. All right.
So what it is, we've always had books coming into our thrift shop.
Yeah.
And all of the children's books now, we have an amazing volunteer, Mary Ann. She sorts them all by age and puts them into bags. And then when we serve clients in the food pantry, we give those books to that family and they keep them.
Nice.
And the Thomas Crane Library, they're donating books on a regular basis, and those are all getting into the homes of Quincy and local families. So it's we're nourishing minds in addition to bodies.
So folks can bring books down to Interfaith?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We need books, you know, 0 to 12.
Okay.
We're looking for those book donations. And in the in just 4 or 5 months of last year, we distributed about 6,000 books.
Wow.
So we're definitely, there's an unending need for children's books now. And so we hope we're inundated.
All right.
We hope we have one of those happy problems where we have
careful what you
too
wish
many
for.
Books.
Okay. Rick, great to see you. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thanks for raising awareness about everything that's going on at Interfaith. And we love our volunteers. Any opportunity I have, I know our volunteers are watching.
Yeah.
So thank you to our volunteers and donors here in Quincy.
Well, we're happy to help in a small way too. So, and we'll catch up again real soon.
Absolutely.